Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to LTB Live. Another episode here of Lombardi Town Bruiser. I'm your host, John Delray. Yeah, flying solo today. Claudia had something come up, so she was not able to be here with me, but thought I would hop on and chat for a little bit. Just now, here we are on Draftmas Eve, hoping that Kevin Costner fills everyone's stockings with extra picks tonight. I know we're going to be watching that movie tonight because tradition. So, as I've been doing every Wednesday as of late, I can give you the weekly update on the Packers' top 30 visits. It looks like by most media outlets, we've got 27 visits now pretty well confirmed. There might be a couple more rumors out there, a few maybe like reschedule type deals, but these are the 27 that I could muster from surveying all the different things that have been confirmed as having occurred. And we know that these picks or these visits are relatively important, be they subterfuge, be they actually players the Packers are interested in. So just going to read these off and then we'll start hitting the comments for any questions anybody's got. So first one would be quarterback Gavin Hardison out of UTEP. One running back was brought in, Ray Davis out of Kentucky. Two wide receivers, Jermaine Burton out of Alabama and Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. A bunch of offensive linemen, Zach Zinter, Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, Donovan Jennings, Kieran Amagaji, Giovanni Manu, and then a few corners as well, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Jerrion Jones, Jaquan Shepard, Omar Brown, Chris Edmonds, safeties, Del Pettis, Akeem Dent, Keaton Aladapo, Jalen Carlies, linebackers, Tyron Hopper, Edrin Cooper, Trevin Wallace, edge, just a couple, Austin Booker and Marshawn Neyland, and then a few defensive linemen as well, Michael Hall Jr., Mason Smith, Christian Boyd. And then there's one, too, that I just, like, could not get a firm grip on, and that would be Travis Glover. Looks as though he had a top 30 visit scheduled, and no one seems to know if it actually got rescheduled or not. So there is your weekly update. Certainly a focus on guys in the early part of the draft that maybe have some questions attached to them. And then a whole lot of day three guys being interviewed by the Packers. On a very relevant note, if you haven't seen it yet, Justice Mosqueda, who writes for Acme Packing Company, he put out a great article earlier today. He used his sources, he called around, and he wanted to find out why the Packers brought in some of these individuals for top 30 visits. And he actually seemed to get some reasons for most of the guys who are considered in the top 100 range-ish of the draft, be them injury, be them whether they play nicely with others, and the Packers wanted to get a good feel for that, or whether they think that there's going to be some mental difficulty, maybe shifting to the pro game, Packers trying to see if they could help out in that regard. So different reasons listed for the vast majority of them. I thought it was a very enlightening article with some nice details in there. So if you haven't seen that yet, Acme Packing Company, Justice Mosqueda, nice, very, very relevant article if you're looking for different things. So let's hit to the comments. Janelle, hello. Happy Draftmas Eve to you as well. Don saying, hi, John. Your thoughts on run-stuffing defensive tackle or off-ball linebacker or both in round two? My crush is Chris Jenkins and Junior Colson. Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, Junior Colson, especially given the fact that he's only 21 years old and is a different type of linebacker. We've talked so much about like the Edrin Coopers, the Trevin Wallaces, even a little bit of Peyton Wilson mixed in there. Junior Colson's kind of a different type of off-ball linebacker. He's a sturdier body. Last time I checked, he was at 245 pounds, which is frankly what I think the Packers generally prefer off-ball linebacker. So he probably could fit the Sam role, definitely the Mike coming out of the University of Michigan. So I do really like him. He was just reported, I think it was Jeremy Fowler or Tom Pelissero, one of the two yesterday, wrote an article that there's actually some late round one buzz around Junior Colson as of late. I don't know about that high, but especially for a guy who didn't do the athletic testing, but I got to tell you, Junior Colson, very, very high on my list. And then in terms of like a run stuffing defensive tackle, I think you hit the nail on the head, Don. Like Chris Jenkins, he would be a great candidate. There are a couple later on in the draft, like a Murphy at a UNC, even earlier than that. I mean, obviously like the big name out there is Sweat, right? But I'm not sure he's going to be on the Packers board at all after what's kind of gone on there. In terms of like a crush for defensive tackle, I did include Ruke Ohorohoro in my mock draft just the other day. I really think linebacker and defensive tackle in round two are tremendous possibilities depending on how the board falls. So I think you got the nail on the head there. Steve, sup, everyone? Hope everyone is having a great day. You as well, my friend. And then he also says, here's a good question for you. Do you think Udy uses all 11 picks or what? I'm definitely not going to rule it out, especially considering his press conference the other day. He talked about actually wanting to have 13 or 14 picks coming out of this draft because he wants competition from the top of the roster on down. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they emerge with the full 11 picks. I also wouldn't be shocked at all if they do walk out with like 13 picks, then maybe even a couple extra next year as well. The roster, while having, you know, a lot of starting spots already very much secured, does have a number of questions kind of in the back half of the roster. They've got a good number of just outright openings too. So to come out of this with 13, I don't think is unreasonable at all. Now, last year, I said, like, there's no way he uses all 13 picks, and then he did. So I won't be surprised at all this year. Patrice, hello! One more day before draft day. I am so excited. Me too, Patrice. It is time. One of my favorite weekends of the year. I'm so excited to be here for the draft party, of which, might as well plug it now, every single pick, every single minute of the draft going to be here live. This exact desk sitting right here doing a watch party. So do hope that you join me, whether it's for a little bit or the whole freaking thing. Come on by. So that's about it for the comments that I see right now. At least let me know if you got any other questions out there. I did think that I would just kind of let you know because, you know, I've been circling certain things in the mocks, talking about different guys, but I kind of wanted to give just my outright favorites for every position. These can be just like, call them draft crushes, if you will, or maybe just favorite matches for the Green Bay Packers at every position. I tried to keep it also realistic. I didn't put like Joe Alt at the tackle spot because like, that's just not going to happen unless he pulls a Laramie Tunsil. So these are my favorite semi-realistic candidates for every single position. Quarterback, Joe Milton. I think that would just be fun. Running back, Jalen Wright. I think he is in some ways kind of an Aaron Jones incarnate. I think watching him in this backfield with Jacobs, it would be a ton of fun. And the exceptional home run ability he's got. Wide receiver, Johnny Wilson. Yeah, he makes the athletic traits. He's huge for a wide receiver. What I really love about him is it's tough to find a better run blocking wide receiver in this draft. If they're bound to pick a wide receiver, I kind of like Johnny Wilson for it. Then at tight end, Tip Ryman. I've told his story a bunch. Really like him. Offensive tackles, again, being realistic. Kingsley Suamataia. He's been one of my favorites for a long time. Roger Rosengarten fits in there. And also Jalen Sundell. Certainly a day three selection of Sundell would be, but outside, inside versatility. Really like him a lot. Interior offensive line, Cooper Beebe. So let me get this question, then I'll go back to the favorites for the defense. Steve saying, John, do you think you or Claudia can sneak into the war room and see who's first on their board? I heard Claudia is like a Navy SEAL. You know, I'll tell you, she's sneaky. She's silent when she walks around. I could definitely vouch for that. But I don't know, man. I think they got that place locked up like Fort Knox right now. Not to mention, I did see from some pictures that it's not like it used to be, like the Bob Harlan days where they've got an actual physical board you can steal glimpses of from a picture. Now it's, they got TV screens up everywhere. It's all digital. You know, all those TVs are off right now. A little tough to break in. So then my favorites on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive line, it was kind of tough to find like a crush the run stopper role, but I got to go with Michael Hall Jr. Not so much of a run stuffer, but only 20 years old from OSU. Outside, inside versatility, thinking maybe just not as a one tech, but certainly a player that I really like, someone that they brought in for a top 30 visit as well. Linebacker, I talked about Junior Colson a little bit, but then corner, Max Melton and Andrew Phillips. You want some attitude, bring in Andrew Phillips. And then it's safety. I haven't been quiet about it since the very beginning. Give me Keaton Oladapo. And then also, come on now. I'd love to hang with Mr. Cooper DeGene in the secondary. So wanted to just put those out there. Those are my draft crushes. And if any of them are picked, you can expect that I will be quite happy at the watch party coming up. Steve saying, what pick would bother you with the first pick? I know it's a tough question to answer. Yeah, you know, I have been thinking about this a lot, and there is a very large part of me that basically just says, at this juncture, yes, there are a few years there in the middle, but at this juncture, the benefit of the doubt kind of has to go to the Packers front office, right? So like, is there any pick that I'm going to be just inflamed, angry about? No, probably not. The ones that would make me go, that's not exciting. are like, I've talked a lot about, like, I would much prefer that they grab a tackle in rounds two and three, especially two. You can get a great value in round two at tackle. It's where like a Roger Rosengarten may very well go. I don't see the need to pay a round one pick for a guy like Tyler Guyton when Roger Rosengarten is just chilling several picks later. So I would probably have to go round one tackle is like, depending on the tackle, don't get me wrong, is probably the one position where I'd go like, I get it. I just don't love it. That would be the one. Wide receiver, I'd even be really excited about because it means that like they got a dynamo at wide receiver. It would be difficult to be upset about any spot on the defense until the defense is completely fixed, to be frank. But that's kind of the one position that if it's picked, I would be like, that's not exciting. Of course, of the eligible positions, because I really don't think they're picking quarterback round one. Janelle saying, I've heard and read a couple of reports the Packers are interested in Darius Robinson with their first pick. He doesn't fit the athletics. So I did see that. I think it was actually, was it Fowler? Just put out something earlier today even, kind of linking up the Packers with Darius Robinson at pick 25. And I got to tell you, like, that is kind of interesting. I want to make sure that I pull up his full athletics here. It depends. When looking at his, like, RAS card, you know, you like, there are some positions, like, I'm trying to remember if it's at end or tackle that he's better, but in terms of like meeting their overall sizing, like he's 6'5", 285 with 34.5-inch arms. That's all good. Whether you're looking at edge or defensive tackle, like that meets the 4.95 40-yard dash. That's very slow for how they like their edges. So that might put him in the defensive tackle kind of role. And then also some of the agility stuff, since he actually did go through with that testing, it's a little less than desired, yeah. But if they pick him, they'd be picking him for the run-stuffing ability, the initial first step that he has. I would question the pick. Like, he would kind of fall into that category. He's one individual that would kind of be right there with the tackles of, like, really? That was the best use of that resource? All right. Again, like, I would get it because defensive line needs those reinforcements. Clark, Slayton, Johnny Ford, they're all under contract for only one more year. So D-line, I think, will be addressed fairly early in this draft. It's just, I don't know about that one. But I like the versatility. It's just, if you're going to pick a tweener, give me Michael Hall Jr. instead. The hip. Please no Mims or Guyton. I'm with you, the hip. Now, if one falls to round two, all right, but both of them are so un-Packers-y in a bunch of different ways. Like, sure, like Mims has the age factor, but like the lack of versatility from both of them, the lack of experience from both of them. I wouldn't hate it, but I wouldn't exactly be enthused. Steve saying, I heard Powers Johnson's injury is more serious and could be career ending. Holy buckets. I have not seen that anywhere. The only thing that I've really seen in regards to Powers Johnson is that the draft industry is a lot higher on him than the actual NFL scouts. That to the NFL, he's round two and later. And yet in a lot of mocks, he continues to be like in the 20s in round one. So, and I gotta believe that like that's actually probably pretty true, partially because pure centers like he is just don't get picked in round one that often, no matter how good they are. Look at even a guy like Creed Humphrey. He was round two, picked right after Josh Myers. But I mean, like, there's a lot of validity to that. So I have not heard anything about that injury being that serious, unless, of course, you're just saying that in hopes that he'll drop, in which case, good job. But yeah, we'll see. Chris Ann, hey, John, super excited for tomorrow. Hope all is well. Hope all is well with you as well, Chris. So yeah, just wanted to say while we're waiting for a few more comments, I did want to throw a shout out there to everyone who attended the community live draft last night. It was our first time doing it. It was a really, really good time. It went a little bit longer than I was expecting, but tried to give people time to vote. But it was a very, very good time, and I hope that you guys enjoyed that format. It certainly can make a comeback next year. So yeah, that's about all I got. I mean, we've talked about the draft as much as you just about possibly can at this time. I will say, in terms of like trades up, trades back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I'm still kind of looking at the structure of this draft and thinking that there's great potential for the Packers to fall in love or have the board fall a favorable way and hop up in round one and then use one of those day two picks to shift back a little bit and reacquire some of the capital. I still think that that is entirely possible. I also think that it's entirely possible, though maybe a little less likely in my personal opinion, that the Packers trade back in this draft. The board would have to fall a certain way, I think, for the Packers to kick it backwards in this draft. And that just has not been Brian Gutekunst's MO. If you're looking at a trade back, it's generally just by a couple picks. It has not been his thing in round one to trade back. He's way more likely to work the phones and try to get up. That's what his history has been since he took over as general manager in 2018. So that's where I'm at. I think moving up has some potential to it. I just hope it doesn't cost too much if they indeed do it. Steve saying this is going to be fun tomorrow night. Yeah, it is. I am excited. I know I've talked about it a little bit, but Wisco Fanatics is going to be joining us. They're going to be here basically through round three. A couple of great guys, super knowledgeable. Really, really looking forward to it. Claudia is still going to essentially serve as our host, reading all the comments and everything. And then you just get to hear the three of us chime in with whatever we feel like and have our reactions. So it's Christmas time tomorrow. Yes, it is. Tomorrow is the day. So I did think that this one might be a little bit quicker. I know a lot of people got some stuff going on and tomorrow's the big day. So if there's nothing else, I will hop on out of here. Do hope that you're having a great day today. Please do join us tomorrow for the watch party. Last year, I know I'll get sentimental tomorrow, but like last year at this time, we were sitting around like 500 subscribers, I think. And this last year has been huge. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. The draft was huge for us last year, especially going all the way to the end of the draft. We're going to be doing it again this year. Do hope you join us sincerely. Captain Kebbles, welcome. This feels like a draft for the first time in a long time that there is no bad pick they'll take. Any added talent is going to be welcome. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. Because like, even if the board doesn't fall right and the options in round one aren't great, okay, then you do fall back to round two and you get more picks in the range of like 30 to 90, where there's a bevy of different options at all different positions, especially the positions of need. So like, it is kind of hard to say that there's one pick that would be bad. Or in my mind, are some picks that are a little bit more concerning than others, like Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think, has the ability to be one of the best cover corners in this draft. But that Jones fracture is scary. Is that going to be a lingering issue for him? I mean, right now they're saying it's not, but is it? That's concerning. They've already got some injury-hampered corners. We don't really need to add to that grouping. So, you know, like there might be a couple concerning ones, but there's really kind of no one that I would sit there and go, I hate this. I hate this. I'm angry. Listen to a quarterback. And I like the Jordan Love pick back in 2020, but like circumstances are different now. Jordan Love's not mid 30s. Peter, hello to you, my friend. Hello, bonjour. And then he says, how about Joe Milton at 126? Hey, I said it earlier. Joe Milton's probably my favorite quarterback in this draft for the Packers, but it would be surprising. I think they will pick a quarterback in this draft, but it would be surprising to see them do so in round four. Yeah, that's still day three, but like they've only got one round four pick as it stands right now. I think that would surprise me to go that early. Joe Milton would be a lot of fun, no doubt about it. And like was talked about a little bit last night, like he could kind of fill a Taysom Hill role on this offense. But that does feel a little rich for my blood. I'd rather see a quarterback be like the Sean Clifford range in 5, 6, maybe even 7, grab like a Keaton Slovis or Sam Harton, where they're more so projected to go. Steve saying Spencer Rattler instead of Joe Milton. Yeah, I don't see Rattler happening. Lately, I've been seeing him a lot as like a day two selection in a lot of 7-round mocks from national people. And that definitely feels rich for the Packers. Might be looking at a quarterback. I know you've been on Rattler all along, but that one just doesn't feel right. So All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me here. I'm going to be hopping out. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with me today. Join me tomorrow. Y'all, I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. Thanks for being here. See you tomorrow. And as always, go Pack, go.